North 2 weather
with bradfordcollege.ac.uk. Are you ready to study a degree on your doorstep? Bradford College is ready for you.
Tonight there'll be outbreaks of rain coming in from the northwest. Although these will be scattered, the rain should settle during the early hours of the morning. Tomorrow's going to be quite breezy, but expect some sunny spells with highs of up to 20 degrees. It's looking like it's going to be a warm one tomorrow in West Yorkshire.
On 12:78 and 15:30 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Well, welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with me, Mick the Game Caller Gliddle, on Pulse 2 this evening. Robbie is currently partaking in the ride to Wembley along with the Rugby League Cares, and judging by what's been put on social media, there's been wonderful support from the public en route, and Robbie certainly will be letting us know, along with former Bradford and Salford player Nathan McAvoy. So we'll be hearing from Robbie and Nathan a little just after 6:30. But it is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with me, Mick the Game Caller Gledel, and we have Ross the Reggae Warrior. He's in the building here at Pulse 2 HQ. And we've got quite a bit to talk about in this next hour. We're going to give you all the latest information and developments regarding Oddsall Stadium. We're going to focus on the championship, the race for the top five, the Challenge Cup final, the 1895 Cup final, and we're going to get Ross's thoughts on who is in the mix for the relegation from the Super League. But first things first, Ross, just quickly, good evening. Thanks for coming on. It is Pulse 2 with the Game Caller and the Reggae Warrior. Yep. Bradford, they made it two wins on the bounce, and it's going to go right down to the final two games of the championship season. The Bulls still in the hunt for the top five playoffs.
Yeah, we're still in the hunt, you know, and anything could happen. I think if you can see, Fev have got, you know, two tough games coming up. And yeah, it stayed interesting. And I said at the start of the year, and I've always said all year, it's going to come down to the last day. And I didn't think it would be us waiting to come down to the last day. But yeah, it's going to come down to the last day. And yeah, it's been an interesting championship, you know. It's been exciting. So, yeah.
Well, as we know, the final fixtures, just to familiarise yourself, Featherston currently fifth. They're the only side that either Bradford or Sheffield, who meet at Oddsall a week on Sunday, can only catch. They've got Batley away, Toulouse at home, Sheffield away at Bradford, away at Swinton. And Bradford, as we know, that last of a game at Oddsall Stadium against the Sheffield Eagles and away to Rochdale. And when you look at Featherston just quickly, Ross, away at Batley, at home to Toulouse, there's going to be a lot of emotion in that home game for Batley against Featherston a week on Sunday. And Toulouse at home, you know, they're in a three-way tussle between Lee and York to get that second spot, because that second spot behind the Wolfpack effectively will give them two bites at the cherry, and they will have two home games in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, very emotionally charged game. You know, I've been there myself, you know, after, you know, we tragically lost Jonesy. I remember the next game we played, there were a lot of media attention on it. There were a lot of people went to it, you know, just show support. And I think it's going to be a packed Mount Pleasant. And I think, yeah, they're going to be up for it, because they're going to want to do the teammate proud. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of emotion. So I think that is it's a very tough game for Fev. And, you know, they could very well easily slip up in that game. And also to lose, you know, going for that top two. You know, is it in Toulouse?
It's at Post Office
Road. It's at Post Office Road.
So they will have home advantage, Featherston.
They have home advantage on that little bit of a hill, but still, you know, everybody wants that second spot to lose. You know, they'll have seen themselves after Toronto as the second best team in this league, and, you know, they'll want to finish second, and they'll want that two bites of the cherry, definitely. You know, so, yeah, Fev have got it tough, and I think we'll be in a very emotionally charged fixture, you know, hopefully a big crowd against us, against Sheffield. And they'll have their big game at Wembley, you know. So if they're winning, they have a few too many beers, you know, and the party a bit too hard. So by the time it comes to Oddsall, you know, they're not really bothered about that top five. But yeah, you know, we're going to want to go out on a high at home. So, you know, I think there's going to be no need for any motivation for the boys to get up for that game. And yeah, it's just very interesting, because, you know, you can see Fev losing points in either of them games, you know. it's basically our kind of like one of our finals now with Sheffield, because we're the two in the hunt, and you know that game's come at a perfect time. You know the fixtures there have thrown up a great one. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting next, I'd say, 2-3 weeks of rugby league really, and yeah, it's all to play for really, and it's exciting.
And that's what John Key has said for the last couple of weeks after those two narrow defeats against the York City Knights and then the Toronto Wolfpack at Odsell Stadium. Mm. You can only control what you can control, and that is to go to Barrow, a very difficult assignment on the Cumbrian Peninsula. And Barrow suffered one of their second worst defeat at home in 3.5 years. That tells you the manner of that Bradford performance, and very few sides go to Dewsbury and win by 24 clear points. And John Kay was very happy when we did the post-match press conference pitch side after Sunday's game. We've had quite a few messages in on Twitter and Facebook. We'll do our best to go through them all. Mark Shackleton, who I think is Harry Shackleton's dad. Harry, of course, one of the Bradford Bulls under-19 players. He asked a question to you, Ross. What do you, the players, think of the move to Dewsbury, and how do the dressing rooms and facilities and the pitch compare to Odsell Stadium, obviously experiencing it on Sunday?
Listen, you could be moving to Wembley and I'd hate it because it's not in Bradford. It could be the best stadium, the best facilities. That don't matter to me. I don't care how good the ground is. I don't care how good any facilities are, because this club leaving Bradford is a tragedy, really. And I don't think it should ever happen. You know, people are saying, oh, it's for the greater good. But, you know, it's an institution in Bradford. You know, me and you, Mick, we're both Bradford lads. We've lived here his whole life. You know, I've grown up going to watch City as a kid. I've grown up going to watch Bulls as a kid. Do you know what I mean? I love everything that is Bradford. And for Bradford to not play in Bradford, you know, it's very sad to me. But I think as players, you know, we're not really thinking about it. We're not trying to concentrate on it. You know, I think it adds a feel of, you know, we can only control what we can control, and there's kind of a feel of everything's going to change, so we'll try to enjoy it while we can. And, you know, we just want to do each other proud and put everything to the side, and we're not really trying to focus on it as a group, really. I think, you know, it's always on the back of lads' mind, but when we're together, we don't talk about it or think about it. We just want to go out there and keep this playoff push, really.
And in terms of the facilities at the Tetley Stadium, how does the dressing room compare?
No, Tetley Stadium, you know, it's a small pitch, compact pitch, but it's a well-looked-after pitch. You know, we all said that when we went there on Sunday. You know, the home all the way changing rooms are very spacious. Bradford colours in them. So, you know, you feel at home there. You know, it's a good little ground, to be honest. If I am being honest, it is a good little ground, but it's just not in a BD postcode, so yeah.
Keith Harrell, Keith Boy Bulls on Twitter, has messaged in and he says, were the players asked about leaving, about moving away from Odsell, were the players consulted before the decision was made last Thursday?
We found out same time as everybody else. We didn't know nothing. You were there at training, Mick, and we were all asking you, and you were saying you don't know nothing.
I genuinely didn't know.
I believe you when you say that, you know, and we asked you, we were asking you, we didn't know nothing. We got told, I think we got told we'd be informed before everyone else, but then we found out same time as everyone else, really. So, you know, it was a shock to us, and it was just, I think it's just a worrying sign of times, really, you know, just as a player. You know, some players may not be as emotionally involved with that news as I would be, but yeah, we just found out. There was no consultation, we just found out, and it's one of them. As a professional, you've just got to play where you get paid, you know, so yeah.
Anna Lowe, she's a Huddersfield Giants supporter. She's asking, who's everyone's prediction for relegation from the Super League to the Championship? Well, we're going to focus on that a little bit later on. But before we go on to Odsell Stadium, let's just take a look at the roads. We'll have all the latest news on Odsell Stadium after the roads and the ad break.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With Living Well. Small changes can make a big difference, just like Mohammed. Follow My Living Well 1 on Facebook and Twitter and start your own journey.
Well, the latest traffic and news on Pulse 2. One lane is closed and slow traffic due to broken down vehicle on M1 southbound from Junction 41 to Junction 40 Wakefield Road. There's queuing traffic on Halifax Road at Denholm Gate Road and at Hipperholme Crossroads, so avoid those areas if possible. And Leeds Road is partially blocked in both directions with queuing traffic due to an accident from Leighton Lane to Overlane. For all this and more, visit pulse2.co.uk.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Well, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2 with me, Mick the Game Caller, Gledel and Ross Peltier alongside me. We're going to hear from Robbie Hunter Paul and Nathan McAvoy on the phone in the third part of this evening's show. They're currently taking part in the RFL, RL Cares, Ride to Wembley. So we'll be giving the latest news and views of Robbie and Nathan. And we'll get Robbie to give you the link. You can donate to a great cause. Right, time for a bit of serious news then regarding Oddsall Stadium, the Rugby Football League and the Bradford Bulls. As always, when it concerns the Bradford Bulls, I do have to go into a bit of a digging mode. The phone's never stopping. You know, you want to try and get the facts. And what I can say is that there is a Rugby Football League board meeting taking place on Friday afternoon in London. Now, that's only 2 days away. There will be no clubs present. This is just the RFL board and the non-executive board of directors. So there'll be no Andrew Chalmers, there'll be no Neil Hudgill, there'll be no Michael Carters, there'll be no Richard Fewlis, there'll be no Gary Hetherington, Kevin Sinfield. So this will just be the RFL board, which of course is Ralph Rimmer, Simon Johnson, Tony Adams. So it's the RFL board and the non-executive board. So they are going to be meeting in London, which is 2 days away. So what I can say at this moment in time is that I don't know if a decision is going to be made about the relocation of the Bradford Bulls this Friday. What I can say is from speaking to the Rugby Football League, the Bradford Bulls and Bradford Council, this is a big decision which affects not just the Bradford Bulls but Rugby League as a whole. And as of today, the Rugby Football League have asked Andrew Chalmers to produce further information regarding the club's move to Dewsbury, which the RFL require before they can take the information to the non-executive board of directors. So when we say the non-executive board of directors, that's not Karen Morehouse, that's not Ralph Rimmer making the decision, that's the non-executive board of directors, and Simon Johnson, as president of the Rugby Football League, or should I say interim chairman, he will preside over that meeting. It is a complex situation and thorough due diligence has to be undertaken before a final decision can be made. And we go back to Andrew Chalmers' original statement. He said 2 to 4 years at Dewsbury while they look to develop a stadium of their own. Now, I get the impression, Ross, that the Rugby Football League don't want any club out of their home city for any more than 2 years. And you look at Sheffield as a prime example. Don Valley come down in 2013. They've spent 5 seasons flirting between a 2-year spell at Doncaster. They then moved back to the city of Sheffield for a season. They played 1 season at the University Sports Park. They then left the University Sports Park to go back to Wakefield. They shared with Wakefield for 2 seasons at Bellevue before finally, at the start of this season, going to the Olympic Legacy Park, which of course we experienced in round 3 at the start of this season. Ross, as you can see, the RFL, they have a massive decision to make, and it's not just simply about, you know, moving the Bradford Bulls to Dewsbury. They've got to look at the wider impact and implications. Bradford is the 7th biggest city in the United Kingdom, and with it not having a rugby league team that the local population can relate to and identify, you know, this is a big decision for them to make, and rightly so. Due diligence, thorough due diligence is going to take place.
Yeah, I think it needs to, you know. I think a lot of people have seen, you know, saying we get a stadium of our own in 2 years. You know, if you put your practical head on it, that's impossible. 4 years at a push. But, you know, I'm being honest here, you know, and you know, I get employed by Bradford, you know, I'm paid by Bradford. But I think moving out of the city, I think it could be a sign of things not prospering and not going well. I think, you know, when you take a club such as Bradford out of Bradford, you know, Sheffield is a club with great history. They won Challenge Cup, they've been in Super League, all this. But, you know, when they moved from Don Valley, when they moved to Doncaster, Wakefield, the crowds, they didn't really have a fan base like Bradford has a fan base. Bradford has a worldwide fan base. Look at when we played Leeds this year. It were packed out. Do you know what I mean? Look at when we played Halifax, it was packed out. Like, we still get very good crowds, like, even in Championship. Do you know what I mean? So for us to move and take everything out of the city, you know, that's a big thing. And yeah, to say a new stadium, like, if someone said, you know, for 2 years for us to develop on Horsfall or for us to develop on somewhere, then I can understand. But for a new stadium, you know, to purchase land, to get plans, to get planning, to sign it off, you know, it seems a massive task, and I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I think this is, if we move to Dewsbury, it has to be the last resort, but it has to be contingency in plan, in concrete, in paper, of to the steps that are going to be made for us to return as swiftly as possible, because, you know, it could get in, we could be looking at brink of 4 years, in 4 years' time, on a brink of Dewsbury, no home, nowhere going. Bradford Bulls are homeless, and Oddsall's got even worse and falling into more disrepair, and then Bradford Bulls are literally homeless then, you know. So it's worrying times, I'd say. Yeah.
Well, you can understand why the Rugby Football League have asked Andrew Chalmers for more information. And, you know, I've got to stress that I don't know, and I don't think the RFL know at this moment in time, if this is going to go to the non-executive board of directors on Friday, because obviously they need that additional information from Andrew Chalmers, because you can't just look at it, and I stress it is the non-executive board of the Rugby Football League who are going to make this decision. It's not for Ralph Rimmer to look at a dossier or a PowerPoint and just say, yep, here you go, you're off to Dewsbury. You know, they have to consider the implications, economic, regarding the city of Bradford and rugby league participation levels.
Yeah, and I just want to say today, you know, I spent some time in Homewood with some kids from disadvantaged homes, you know, some kids who have, you know, been expelled from school and stuff, who were from Homewood, who are rugby league players themselves. And, you know, I was talking to them kids, and they were saying how they're sad, because if the Bulls do move to Dewsbury, then their families cannot afford to take them on public transport to Dewsbury to watch the Bulls play no more. And these kids were really upset about that, because that's what they love doing every weekend. And when you hear things like that, you know, I think people look at it from their situation, like, they can afford to get there, and it's fine for me to get to Dewsbury, but there's some people who Dewsbury is a struggle to get to, and will find it difficult. And, you know, me hearing stuff like that, it's just heartbreaking, you know, to think that this club that gave me everything and put me where I am today to not be in Bradford is very upsetting.
Well, I don't drive, Ross, as you know, so yeah. for me personally, to get to Dewsbury, I know Andrew Chalmers has said there's going to be subsidised coaches, but, you know, if you can't get on a subsidised coach, for me personally, I've got to get a bus into town, a train to Leeds, a train to Dewsbury, and then another bus. It's actually quicker for me to jump on a train at Leeds and go to London than it is to get to Dewsbury. It's absolutely crazy. It's not the easiest ground to get to when you're using and you're reliant on public transport.
It's an awkward place, you know. When I used to work, when I used to do my apprenticeship and that, before I signed at Huddersfield, I used to work in the Dewsbury area and stuff before I had a car, and it's an absolute nightmare to get to, and you've got to get on different bus companies. So if you've got a bus pass that gets you around the West Yorkshire area on a first bus, you can't use that on an Aviva bus, so then people have got to pay for that. And it's not the easiest place from Bradford to get to. Do you know what I mean? There's easier grounds locally that are easier to get to on public transport. But, you know, if the buses come through, the buses come through. But, you know, right now, we're just, it's one of them things, yeah.
We've had a tweet in, Ross, from Ash Wood. So just away from Oddsall for a moment. Is there any truth in the Bradford Bulls going part-time at this moment? Now, I'll answer it from my point of view. I've not heard anything. Have you heard anything, Ross?
We don't hear nothing until it's decided and announced. We don't get consulted in nothing, you know. From when I was here, when the club went into administration the last time, you know, the players, we all finished, got in at changing rooms, looked at his phones, we had 100 messages from everybody, found out the club's gone into admin, and we started our day normal. This move to Dewsbury, you know, we were at training, didn't get told nothing, got home, then got seen, we're moving to Dewsbury. We don't get consulted in nothing, we're in the dark about everything, and we find out when everybody else finds out. And I know a lot of people find that surprising, but yeah, we find out at the same time as everybody else. And that's affecting our careers, our futures, and we find out at the same time as everybody, yeah.
David Roberts asks about the Richard Dunn Sports Centre. What we do know, David, is we're speaking to Bradford Council and the land has a value. This is on the open market. It has a land value of between £8 and £10 million. Whether or not you would actually get that is open to interpretation. But Bradford Council have yet to sell that land to any developer. And Susan Inchcliffe at Bradford Council, you know, she was quite firm and thorough in saying that she's not going to sell that land to a redeveloper for more out-of-town leisure because they've just opened the Broadway. Westfield have put over £200 million into the brand-new Broadway in the centre of Bradford. So having any more satellite out-of-town retail would go against, you know, Bradford Council's sort of mandate to improve the city centre of Bradford. We all know if you walk up towards John Street Market, the amount of shops that have shut there, it's scary, the amount of businesses that have actually turned their back on Bradford. So another satellite out of retail shopping centre is not going to happen. But at the same time, I don't think the Bradford Council, they've got any money, Ross, to help fund and support a brand new stadium. And that goes for the Bradford Bulls and the Rugby Football League. You've got three organisations in this sort of triangle and none of them have any money to build a new stadium.
Yeah, listen, I see a lot of people, you know, criticising Bradford Council and things like that. And I think It's one of them things, you know. My mum used to work for the council. She got made redundant through austerity and all these council cuts, you know. And she was working in frontline services with people's care. I know people who work in mental health who've had all their funding and everything cut. So, you know, I think for people to think that the council need to plunge millions into this and build a new ground and do all this, there's people struggling who need housing, who need a lot of things that the council need to spend money on. And, you know, I think it's for Bradford Bulls as a club, as an owner, to find the funds to keep us self-sufficient, really. And, you know, the way rugby league is, I don't think it's where we can look for other people to save the club. You know, whoever's at the helm needs to be the one saving the club. So, yeah, the council weighed thin, and, you know, a lot of people are criticising. But, you know, in these times of austerity, you know, I'm not going to hear me politics, but with a Tory government like we have, yeah, there's not much money going about.
And with Bradford Council opening the Sedgeburg sports facility, which of course is going to replace Richard Dunn's, they've spent £22 million on that, so they need to sell that land where Richard Dunn's currently is, and they need to recuperate some of the money that they've spent on that brand new facility. Right, we're going to take a quick ad break, but coming up next on Pulse 2, we will hear from Robbie Hunter-Paul and Nathan McAvoy, who are on the ride to Wembley.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. Across West Yorkshire, online, DAB, 1278 and 1530 AM. This is Pulse 2.
The Prime Minister is currently having talks with the German Chancellor in Berlin. Boris Johnson will ask Angela Merkel to help him convince the EU to reopen Brexit withdrawal discussions. It has previously said it won't do so. Joachim Lang from the Federation of German Industries says the bloc's unity is vital.
There may be a new leader, but the substance of the negotiations are still the same. The conditions stay the same. The United Kingdom for Germany is a very important partner. But we should never forget that the EU27 is much bigger.
Two men have been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder at a fire at a house in Heckmondwijk. A 17-year-old boy remains in hospital after the suspected arson attack. The men, who are from the region, are 45 and 31 years old, respectively. And police have been called to deal with reports of what turned out to be a fake crocodile in Devon. A dog walker raised the alarm after he thought he'd spotted the animal in Loddiswell, but it was found to be a plastic one.
Pulse 2 Sport.
Huddersfield Town are in Wales this evening looking for their first win of the season away to Cardiff. Caretaker boss Mark Hudson says he's taking things one game at a time.
I'm looking to the games, what's next. We'll look at Cardiff, we'll go to, with the game plan, we'll go to them, and then we'll get that one out of the way, and then we'll look at Reading and go and try and get something at home as well.
Cardiff suffered a 3-0 defeat to Reading at the weekend, who the Terriers also face on Saturday. Twitter will meet with Manchester United and anti-discrimination group Kick It Out to address the abuse of players on their site. United midfielder Paul Pogba was racially abused online after missing a penalty in Monday's Premier League draw with Wolves. And Ollie Pope has been called up to England's cricket squad for tomorrow's third Ashes test with Australia at Headingley. He's covering for Surrey teammate Jason Roy, who has passed a concussion test after being hit on the head during practice. K Captain Joe Root says he's just being brought to Leeds as a precaution. For details on all those stories and more, go to pulse2.co.uk. That's the latest. I'm Patrick Carter.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2 with me, Mick the Game Caller Gledel, and Ross Peltier. Well, we've now got Robbie Hunter-Paul, the main man himself, and Nathan McAvoy. Remember Nathan? He was a Challenge Cup winner back at Murrayfield in 2000. Good evening, Robbie.
Good evening, Mick. Good evening, Ross.
Ross is just coughing in the background, but he's okay. He says hello.
I saw him winking at me. I sensed him winking at me.
just tell us, Robbie, a little bit about the ride to Wembley, which has a lot of support from RL Cares and, of course, the Rugby Football League.
Yeah, so the ride to Wembley is a fundraising event and activity. It's always been based around the Challenge Cup, and it's basically raising funds for RL Cares, for Rugby League Cares, which is the main sort of rugby league charity that sort of services the entire game. So their motto is for the game, for the players, or for the players, for the game. They do a number of different things. So they create like back to rugby, trying to get ex-players getting back into rugby with Touch Rugby Masters. They also do mental health and well-being activities. They look after the sort of responsible for the mental health and well-being aspects for the players, professional players, as well as creating some, they've got the offload program, so creating some programs that support the community. So they trialled it about 2 years ago, the offload program, where they took it into Salford, Warrington and Widnes, and the feedback was absolutely brilliant. Working on things like five ways to well-being, understanding stress, how to deal with stress and anger, understanding anxiety, or you're covering a real wide branch of different mental health and well-being issues. So, you know, they work tirelessly for the players in the game, and this is one of the fundraisers. Been great. Nathan's here, ex-Challenge Cup winner. We've got Lee Smith on the ride, Dennis Betts on the ride, Keith Senior, also and Chris Toussaint. So, you know, loads of players been throwing their weight behind it. Ex-players as well as current players have also been reposting all the content going out to everyone. So it's been a real challenge. This is one of the toughest weeks I ever experienced in my life. You're basically on a bike for 10 hours every single day from Monday to Friday, and you get half a day to recover for the game on the Saturday. But I, if you want to know about how people feel, I can hand over to Nathan and he can fill you in, I guess. Should I do that?
Yeah. Let's hear from Nathan McAvoy.
Go on, Nate. You tell him how you're feeling, mate.
Don't take too long. Hi, you okay?
Yeah. Good to hear from you, Nathan.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you too.
Yeah, just tell the listeners how you're feeling, how grueling, how attritional it has been so far, and what is the current mood like amongst the former players? Because I'm guessing there's quite a bit of camaraderie amongst you all.
Yeah, there is a little bit. It's obviously there's obviously some banter going on, which keeps your spirits high. It's a really tough week, like what we were saying. The first 2 days are always tough. You have to get over the Pennines and then over the Peak District. And that's when the lactic acid builds up in your legs. And we've all of the ex-players have been, done it, especially during pre-seasons when your bodies feel like they're falling to pieces. Yeah, and this is exactly the same. It's just a tough week. At the moment, my legs are sore. They were really sore during the ride today. It wasn't as hilly today, but it was still a tough grueling slog of a ride, 76 miles. Most of it off-road as well, so you get all the vibrations through the bike and into your hands, and not to mention through the saddle as well. So your bum, your undercarriage gets a little bit of it's bad. I remember it last year, and I won't go into too much detail on air, but. Robbie got an extra pad for his seat, which he's been fined for. But I think he'll take that fine because it's doing him the world of good. But yeah, Robbie was just saying about the fall we did today, because there was a section of off-road riding that we did, and we were just going down this hill on this like a farm track, and the grooves were pretty deep into the mud, and I have 50 meters ahead, and all of a sudden I come off because I tried to get into a different track and I completely got it wrong, came off rolling down the hill. As I've got up, I've turned around, and Robbie and Dennis, they're doing the same thing, just rolling down the hill. They've come up. And we just had a giggle about it, had a laugh. And, it's that kind of thing that breaks it up a little bit and makes it fun. The whole week's fun anyway. I enjoy every single minute of it, but it is tough. It's a grueling task. And, it shouldn't be taken lightly. And I think if people... I think it's just getting onto a bike and then riding out to one. And essentially that's what it is, but it's just a really tough slog. And it's for a good cause, so that's why we do it. We put ourselves through it. We've all been there as ex-players. We're the ex-players on this ride now. We've all been there. We know what it's for. And we know how important it is. So.
While we've got you on the phone, Nathan, we've had a couple of messages in from some Bradford Bulls fans. Right. And can you just talk us through your mindset? Let's take you back to May 2000, Murrayfield, and you've got the ball. It's on the last tackle and you fancy that audacious chip over the top and you score one of the great Challenge Cup final tries.
Yeah, it's something that has stuck with me since that actual moment. I don't know really. I don't know. He kind of. I mean, I was going through a stage of playing really well anyway, and the build up to the Challenge Cup is always a tough one anyway. It's a tough competition, and you have to be really on it to be able to get into the position of actually playing in the final. And the team was playing really well, and I was playing really well myself at the time as well. But in that moment in itself, I don't really know what I was thinking, really. I was just, you're kind of processing a lot of things, as you're going through it. I had Boyle on the inside of me, and in hindsight, what I should have done was I should have passed it back in on the inside to him, and he would have gone under and scored. I saw Yistin was coming at me, and everybody knows how good Yistin is, and he was going to tackle me, take me into touch maybe, and I just thought, I've got to do something, it's just an opportunity, and you can't really waste those opportunities, especially in that stage. So I just gave it a go really, and hope for the best. Kicking wasn't really part of my game that I was doing a lot of. In fact, didn't really do any of it really. And so maybe I got fortunate, maybe not, maybe maybe I miskicked it, but it went in the right place. It was just something that I tried, and it came off, and it was a great moment, and one that will stick with me for probably the rest of my life, and also with the Bradford Bulls fans. So I do appreciate the memories and the memories that stick with them, because they'll be sticking with me for forever.
You've both had wonderful support from the public on route, and as we've already heard from you, you've been mixed up with a bit of adversity and the very long, strenuous days. Just quickly, Nathan and Robbie, how can people donate, obviously, if they want to support the ride to Wembley?
I think there's a few ways to donate. You can add we've all got our own personal pages on JustGiving, which is the website you can use to donate to our personal pages. But I'm not too sure if there's a page for the RL Cares as well. So it couldn't be simpler, really. If you just go and if people want to donate, which we really would really appreciate, we're almost our target. I'm almost at my own personal target, and I think I just got a couple of £100 to reach the target. But if you just go on JustGiving and type in my name and search my name, and it should come up, and you can go into all the other players' names as well. You can type in their names and get onto their personal pages as well.
No worries.
It's really simple. You go to
justgiving /rugbyleague.com/ Robbie Hunter Paul.
Robbie, just quickly, last one before we go, because we've got to go to an ad break. What is your Challenge Cup final prediction? Are you allowed to give one? Because you will be working for the BBC.
Of course I'm allowed to give one. I'll quickly say this. St. Helens are the team to beat. We all know that. But Warrington have more experience at this level. St. Helens have fallen short, but Warrington know how to win these big games, and they showed that in the semi-final. They were so strict with how they went about their business. So if Blake Austin doesn't play, then I've got to go in the direction of St. Helens. Blake Austin does play, I'm going to say it's too close to call.
Well, Nathan, Robert, thank you very much for joining us on the Robbie Hunter Paul show. We wish you all the best, and we'll certainly be following you on social media as you continue your ride to Wembley ahead of the Challenge Cup final on Saturday. Well, we're now going to hear from the latest travel and traffic update, wherever you are.
Pulse 2 Travel.
With Living Well, could you make one change? Follow Mohammed's journey at My Living Well 1 on Facebook and Twitter and start your own journey.
Well, the latest travel and traffic in West Yorkshire. Warnut Lane is still closed and there's slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle on the M1 southbound from Junction 41 to Junction 40. That's Wakefield Road. There's queuing traffic on Bradford Road in both directions from Leeds Road to Westcroft Lane, and there's slow traffic on Wakefield Road between Cooper Bridge Road and the M62 Junction 25 roundabout. Travel time there is around 5 minutes. To stay up to date, visit pulse2.co.uk.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2 with me, Mick the Game Caller Gledel, and Ross Peltier, who's in the studio. There's quite a few messages and tweets coming through. Unfortunately, gentlemen, we're not going to have time to go through them all. Questions are coming from Mary, and she says, what are the players going to be like next Sunday if the RFL approve the move to Dewsbury and it is the last ever game at Oddsall Stadium? I know me, Ross, I'm probably going to be in tears. The Kleenex, the tissues are going to be on the press box, the press benches. It's going to be absolutely emotional.
Yeah, it's going to be emotional, you know, and I think that's an extra motivate for us. You know, we got this top five chase to go about, and we've said we can only control what we can control, you know. I think it's just going to motivate everybody. Everybody who plays for that team has a memory of Oddsall, has a reason why they love Oddsall, you know. There's a lot of Bradford lads in this team, so they're like myself and absolutely love the place and had some of the best rugby league memories as a fan, and especially after that Leeds game as a player as well. You know, I've played for the club, you know, when we went into admin and we went into League One and we were promotion from League One, and you know, I've always dreamed and loved playing at Oddsall since my first game there. I think we played St. Helens when I was about 15. You know, and to have been able to play in a Bradford side that's beat Leeds at Oddsall is something that I'll keep with me forever. And yeah, it's just going to be sad, you know. Spent so many years at the place, and it is the home of Bradford Rugby League. You know, it's up there, one of the most iconic grounds in Britain, really. And sad to see it go. And I'd say, you know, I'd always think I'd love for us to go away and maybe redevelop and stay on that site. But you know, the way the mood's feeling, that's not going to be so. And if they go away, then that's it. But you know, it's sad times for that to be it. And for it to ever be filled in and used as anything else, it'd be sad, really. But, you know, a lot of people mention other grounds. You know, they say, like, Knowsley Road's gone. You know, Wolverspool's gone. Salford's old ground's gone. But, you know, look where they've gone from. You know, they've found new homes and brilliant homes. And we're moving and we don't have a home. We don't have no... You know, we don't know where we're going. We're in a wilderness and we're going to try to find his way. So, you know, I think it's just looking a bit, you know, where will it go and how will it pan out, and will it be for the greater good, and will we look back in hindsight and say, you know, we should never have gone? But these are things we don't know. But as players, yeah, we just want to go out on a high. I want to go out on a high. you know, for my family to be there, my son to be there to see me, you know, playing the final of a game at Oddson, you know, it's going to be emotional, yeah.
Jill Elam has asked us both, Ross, on Twitter, what are our earliest memories of Oddsall? Just quickly, mine, it would have been the late 80s. And my dad, who's sadly no longer with us, he would have took me in the late 80s. And the first ever game I can remember, it was a midweek game. I think it was about 88, 89. And it was Bradford Northern against Workington Town. And, you know, Keith Mumby's there at fullback. You know, these are memories that you're going to cherish. I'm guessing for you, Ross, obviously, a little bit later on.
Yeah, I think I got... You know what it is? I got a Bradford shirt. I think it was given or something. I got a Bradford shirt given, and I never watched rugby before in my life. And, you know, I used to wear it and that. I think it was that blue one, the blue Skylark shirt with the
that
white
down
the sides.
That was 2000, yeah, 2000.
Yeah, so I got that shirt around... Yeah, 2000, I'd be 8 years old, yeah. So I got that shirt around then, and... I thought, oh, I asked my brother if he'd take me to a game. My brother took me to a game, and I remember there were fireworks going off. There were all sorts. And then, you know, seeing Tevita Vicona and that, and just seeing the squad who played in that era, you know, I can't remember what game it was, but I remember just looking and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And I never even played rugby then, so, and I ended up playing at Oddsall. But yeah, I just remember my brother taking me and thinking, This is quality, this, you know, before I even knew what rugby was, so yeah.
The final part of the Robbie Hunter Paul show on Pulse 2 this evening, we're just going to quickly look at the two big games this weekend. It is the Challenge Cup final, the first ever time that St Helens will play Warrington in a Wembley final. St Helens' first appearance at Wembley since 2008, when they last beat Hull FC 28-16. James Robey come off the interchange bench and scored a try in that final, so that tells you how long James Robey's been playing. And of course, it's Warrington's sixth Challenge Cup final in the last decade. They've won three, lost two. They have lost the last two at Wembley against Hull FC in 2016 and Carolan Dragons last year. And it's also the 1895 Cup final. And for anybody, Ross, who wants to devalue this competition, well, between Widnes and Sheffield, they've sold over 7,000 tickets. So hats off and a big round of applause to Widnes, yeah, and Sheffield. And I'm sure that'll be a competition that John Keir might just take a little bit more seriously next season. So who are your predictions, Ross? Who is going to win the Challenge Cup final between St Helens and Warrington, and why? And who is going to win the inaugural 1895 Cup final between Widnes and Sheffield?
I'm going St Helens win Challenge Cup final. I know after last year it'll be a bitter taste in Warrington's mouths, but I think, you know, after how last year ended for St Helens, they'll want to get some silverware. You know, for them to finish up, we know after last year were, you know, for them it were heartbreak. I think Justin Albrook's going to want to go out on a high. So, yeah, I'm saying St Helens for that. And then, you know, just because of my mate Joe Farrell, I want him to lift that cup, so I want Sheffield to win. I think he's going to be reminiscent of his dad lifting Challenge Cup there back for Leeds. So, yeah, I think Sheffield are going to do it. And, you know, they've got the history. They've got Mark Ashton there at the helm. You know, he's been there and done it. You know, so we watched, before that Leeds game, we watched a video, John Medders watched a video, you know, of Mark Ashton and John and all the players who played in Sheffield and won Challenge Cup there, and that got us up for it. So I think if they watch the same thing, yeah, I'm going St Helens, Sheffield.
There we go. Ross has put himself on the spot. He's gone for St Helens and the Sheffield Eagles. I've got to be brutally honest, Ross. I know St Helens have won the last three against Warrington, but if you remember back to last season at Langtree Park in that semi-final, Warrington, yeah, the shocked, yeah, the odds. And I'm sorry, St Helens fans, I'm going to go with a shock Warrington Wolves victory. I think Steve Price is going to get one over Justin Holbrook. And in terms of the 1895 Cup final, you know what? Mark Aston, the Eagles back at Wembley, can they cause another massive upset? Don't forget, it's going to be on the BBC Red Button. That is after the Challenge Cup final, so I'm going to tip Widnes. I'm going to go with the W's, Warrington and Widnes. It has been the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with myself, Mick the Game Caller, Gledel and Ross Peltier. I'm back next Wednesday. We've now got All About the 80s.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.